Open your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 10. Maybe you came expecting a continuation of our Revelation study. I told you before that every now and then I'm going to insert a different kind of a message just to break away from the same theme and get something else from the Bible that we've been away from for a while. So Jeremiah in the Old Testament. And while you're turning there, let me begin this afternoon, is it not yet, this morning, by saying I don't believe that I've ever met anybody, that is anybody who was being honest with me, who would say that they did not want to go to heaven. They might not have known everything that there was to know about heaven. They might not have understood all that heaven was like and who was there or anything about all the details, but when left with the alternative of going to hell and burning in a lake of fire, I have not met anybody that did not want to go to heaven. A lot of religions and cults and different people, they come up with the idea that you're nothing more than a dog, you're just like a dog, and you're just a glorified ape. You came out of a slime pit, and when you die, they're going to bury you in the ground. The worms will eat you, and that's it. That's the end of you. But that is not what the Bible teaches. That is not the truth according to the Bible. It's not even true according to common sense, by the way. That's what we call wishful thinking, I suppose. I wouldn't wish for it, but a man who has rejected God and rejected God's word, he hopes that that's all there is just a hole in the ground. But he's hoping against hope because God Almighty said that there are two destinations, heaven and hell, and you have the choice to make between the two. It's your choice. God doesn't decide that. Now, there is a way to heaven. And there is only one way to heaven. And I think it would be the sensible thing to do to find out what that way is. The Bible says, first of all, in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse number 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. You know what God says there? This, or what this man says here to the Lord, he says that he knows something, and he knows something a lot of people these days do not know. A lot of educated people don't know it, and a lot of religious people don't know it. But this man here said, Lord, I know one thing. If I do not know anything else, I know one thing. I know that the way is not in me. If I was left to myself and my own ideas and my reasoning, and if I was left to try and get myself to heaven or find my own way home to heaven, I know that I would never get there. I know I cannot make heaven on my own. Won't make it there. I know I can't get home to glory by myself. Lord, if you left me to lead my own life, in fact, I'd ruin my life. If you left me to run my own family, I'd ruin my family. If you left me to run my own way and do my own thing and think my own thoughts, it would be the worst mess that anybody had ever seen on the face of this earth. Lord, I know it is not in man to direct his steps. Now, you know something? It's a sad thing in our world today that you can go and sit with a man in a jailhouse, or sit with a man at a funeral home, or sit with a man in a divorce court, or sit with a man that had just lost everything he had in life, and have that man look at you and say, I don't need anybody telling me what to do. I don't need any of that God business. I don't need any of that Bible stuff. Just leave me alone. I'll take care of myself. Well, I wouldn't brag about taking care of myself if I had just made as big a mess of things as people have everywhere you look. I sure wouldn't brag about that. Have you looked at the divorce rate lately? Have you looked at the crime rate lately? Have you looked at the suicide rate? Have you looked at the number of people who are hooked on drugs and addicted to alcohol and bound by all kinds of sin and vice while bragging about doing their own thing and running their own lives? If I was a self-made alcoholic or a self-made drug addict or a self-made criminal or a self-made Christ-rejecting, hell-bound sinner, well, I sure would not brag about it. I'd want to blame somebody else. If nothing else, blame the devil. Now, that's not going to get you off the hook, but I'm just saying, why brag about that? Why brag about I'm doing my own thing and thinking my own thoughts and nobody's going to tell me what to do when the testimony of your life is that you're not capable of running your own life and making your own decisions? This man came to the realization that everyone who is saved here this afternoon also came to in their life. And that is, I can't run my own life. I cannot make my own decisions. And beyond that, I sure cannot get myself home to heaven. Go to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 12. And this one shows up in the Bible more than one place, but this is as good a place as any. Proverbs 14, verse number 12. The Bible says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It seems right to a man that the most important thing you can do in this life, for example, is to get all the money you can get and all the material possessions you can get and have all the wealth and the goodness and the things in this world that you can possibly have. That seems right to people, doesn't it? But have you ever thought about what they're going to do with your bank account after they bury you? Now think about this thing. Now, I'm not going to dwell on this thing about the money, but you know good and well that there are an awful lot of people that think that that is the right way. You just look at all the people that live for money. You just look at all the people that spend every waking hour just trying to get one more dollar. Just look at all the money that people throw away on the lottery, hoping that they're going to get somebody else's hard-earned money that they threw away. And you got to know that people are chasing after that money. They're living for that money. Now let me ask you something, or let me tell you something. Almighty God, whatever wealth is up there in the solar system, did you know it's all His? It's all His. Whatever riches are in the depths of the sea, they're His. All the diamonds in the ground, all the gold, all the silver, all the wealth in this universe, it all belongs to God. And you're going to pull out your bank book and try to bribe your way to heaven, you think? You're going to impress God with your stocks and bonds? You're going to impress God with your wealth? The Bible says that God props His feet up on planet Earth. This is just His footstool. the earth. The Bible says, and you're going to impress God with your money? See, it seems right to a man, the Bible says, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And then some man comes along and says, well, I know it's not out there in the world. I think it's religion. I think that religion is the way. I mean, because God is religious, isn't he? He must be. And religion has got to be the way to God. And so the fella comes and he gets baptized and he gets catechized and he gets christendized and all this other kind of stuff. And you know something? It's a funny thing. It seems right. It seems right because it's religious. It's done by a religious man in a religious setting. But you know something? And I'm going to say this as reverently as I can, but I'm warning you, it's not going to sound very reverent. But I'm going to say this, and I mean this with all my heart. This is the truth. If you could get to heaven by being baptized in water, then Jesus Christ was a fool to die on the cross and be tortured and shed his blood for you. If you could get to heaven through water, then God's Son made a terrible mistake, shedding his blood on the cross. It seems right unto a man because he's been taught that by religious people. But the end thereof are the ways of death. And if you get baptized without receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know what's going to happen? Through that baptism, you'll get out of that water and you'll dry out. All the water will evaporate, or you'll wipe it off with a towel and it'll be all over and done. But if you got washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, if you were cleansed of all of your sins, then you're still cleansed to this day and still saved by not the water. Not baptismal water. You're saved by that blood, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that is something that lasts. That's something that endures. That's something that you will not lose. But water won't save you. You say, well, here's my way. I joined a church. Well, the devil's probably joined a few. So what? You say, I confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So did the unclean spirits in Mark chapter 5. You think they're going to heaven? You say, I believe in eternal punishment. So do those unclean spirits in the book of Matthew. You know what they said to Jesus? They said, don't torment us before the time. You say, I believe in God. Don't you think Satan believes in God? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, if I wanted to know the way to get to heaven, I would want to know from the one who owns heaven. If I wanted to know the way to get eternal life, I'd want to know from the one who can give eternal life. If I wanted to know what was the right way, I'd go to the only one that really knew the end from the beginning. That would be the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows the end from the beginning. Now let's see what he says in John chapter 14. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking here. John chapter 14 and verse number 1. I'll give you a minute to find it. John chapter 14 and verse number 1. The Bible says, Jesus Christ says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. You say, well, I believe in God. All right. Jesus says, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Verse number 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Wow. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ just said? And this is an amazing thing. Jesus Christ did not say, I will show you the way. He said, I'm the way. He didn't say, I'll make a way. He said, I'm the way. He didn't say, I'll lead you in the way. Jesus Christ said, I am the way. The way to heaven is not deeds, it's not works, it's not activities, religious or non-religious. It is not good deeds or bad deeds, of course. The way to heaven is a person. It is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, but I'm a Baptist. The Baptist Church is not the way to heaven. I'm a Methodist. The Methodist Church is not the way to heaven. I'm a Catholic. The Catholic Church is not the way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, and no man. You say, well, yeah, but what about those good, sincere Buddhists? No man. What about a really devout Muslim? No man. What about the sincere Confucianist? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you ever have any hope or expectation at all of getting to heaven where God the Father dwells, you'll have to get there by way of a person, Jesus Christ. That's it. You say, well, that's awfully inflexible. That's awfully narrow-minded. Yeah, but don't argue with me. I didn't say it. Jesus is the one that said that. You ought to tell him. I look back 2,000 years, and I see a babe lying in a manger. I see the angels of God announcing that baby, that baby right there in that manger, is God manifest in the flesh. Did you ever read that in Matthew and Luke? He said, the Bible says, they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Okay? I read about that. Then I read about that baby growing up. I read about him 12 years old, confounding the lawyers and the doctors and the religious leaders because they could not handle God's word like that 12-year-old boy could handle it and understand it and teach it. You know why that was? Because he's the one that wrote it. That's why. That was his word, and he hadn't forgotten one word of it. I read about that one out there in the wilderness, and Satan himself, for 40 days and 40 nights, taking him on head to head, and Jesus Christ whipping him every single time, not one time yielding to one temptation. I read about that in my Bible. I read about Jesus Christ giving sight to the blind. You can't do that. I can't do that. I read about him restoring withered arms and legs so that the lame could leap for joy. I read about lepers being cleansed at his spoken word. I read about dead men coming up out of the grave. I read that in my Bible. It's there. I read about that same one going to a cross and laying down his life and then rising from the dead. Now, I give you some references, not all references to those things I just mentioned. They're there in your handouts, so you ought to look at those. Now, I don't read about a church going to the cross. I don't read about a religion going to the cross. I don't read about a baptismal pool going to the cross. I don't read about a church membership certificate going to the cross. I read about the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, going to the cross and rising from the dead and ascending back up to heaven and sitting down at the right hand of his Father. And saying to you, saying to me, today, he says, I came, and when I came, I made a way to heaven. I'm seated up here now. If you ever want to get up here, there's only one way to get here, and it's by me. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's it. That is it right there. You say, what's the way to heaven? Jesus Christ. How do I get to heaven? Jesus Christ. How can I have eternal life and know that when I die, I'll go to be with the Lord? Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. You say, well, I just think you ought to live a certain way. You will. I just think you've got to act a certain way. You will. I just think you got to believe certain things. You will. I think you got to do certain things. You will, but those things are not what gets you to heaven, you see. Jesus Christ, he's the way to heaven. You look at those Jehovah's Witnesses. Do you know what they do? They go to church regularly, very regularly and faithfully. Do you know what those people do? They give of their money. You know what those people do? They go out and witness, probably more than you do. And they go out and they go from house to house and propagate their gospel. They study the Bible. They search the scriptures. They memorize the Bible. They're going straight to hell. You say, well, I go to church, I read my Bible, I pay my tithe, I study the scripture, I tell people about Jesus. I'm just trying to show you that is not the way to heaven. Okay? Those might be things that you do along the way because you are going to heaven. Okay? But those are not, they might be things that you do to go the wrong way too if you're not saved and you're trusting in those things. But I'm trying to show you those things are not the way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. You say, but this is an independent Baptist church. We know that. You'd be surprised how many independent Baptists think that they're going to heaven because grandma was a part of this church and mama was a part of this church and I was baptized in that church and my daddy preached in this church. That is not the way to heaven. The way to heaven is a person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. You say, this is awfully narrow-minded preaching here. Yeah, Jesus knew you were going to say that. I tell you, the longer I read this Bible, the more I know that it has to be the Word of God, because how many times have you been reading a passage of Scripture and had some kind of a question, some kind of an argument come up in your mind as you read it, and it wasn't two verses later that God answered that question that you were reading? It's a marvelous thing when God does that. The Lord knew that people would say, that's awfully narrow-minded. That's awfully narrow-minded. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Jesus says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Which way leads to life? Is it the broad way that everybody's traveling, or the narrow way that just a few are traveling? Jesus said it's the narrow way that just a few are traveling. You know, it's a marvelous thing. You think about this. There's people out there in your world, drug addicts, drunkards, homosexuals, murderers, and they make fun of this Bible, and they say it's not the Word of God, right? So, if you don't fool around with homosexuality, for example, and you don't take drugs, for example, and you don't get drunk, you know what those people will call you? They call you straight, don't they? They say, "He's straight." Now, isn't it an amazing thing? The people that would walk all over this Bible and classify you by they'll classify you by a biblical terminology, and they don't even know they're doing it. The Bible says the word is nigh thee, even in your mouth. They don't even know they're quoting the Bible when they say, "Oh, he got straight." Yeah, I think you're right. Ah, she's a straight. Absolutely right. It's a straight gate. It's a narrow way. But don't be deceived. It leads unto life. You say, "Well, I know a lot of religious people, and they don't agree with that." Few, the Bible says, few there be that find it. You say, "Well, most people in the world don't agree with that." Yeah, they're on that broad road where most people are. The broad road that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in that way. If the majority of the people tell you, "Be good, do good, try hard, be sincere, and you'll make it in the end," then you know that can't possibly be the way according to what Jesus is teaching here. Okay? Because Jesus said that the majority were going the wrong direction. He said there's a narrow way that leads to life, and it's not a Baptist way, it's not a Presbyterian way, it's not an Episcopalian way, it is a person, it is a man, it's Jesus Christ the Lord. You either go by way of Jesus Christ, or you don't go. You say, "That's narrow-minded." Yeah, that's what Jesus said. He said it's a narrow way, and few there be that find it. All right, turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You say, "Well, I don't know about all this kind of stuff, but I know one thing, whether I like to admit it or not, whether I understand it all or not. I've been to a church a time or two. I've been to this church once or twice, heard you preach, and you know, you just keep talking about that sin, and you know, I just don't even like the thought of it. But you know what? I've had to come to the conclusion that I am a sinner. I haven't always done everything God wants me to do. I haven't always lived the way God wants me to live. I know that. That's clear. I know that if I had to stand before God right now, I could not honestly say that I had never sinned. I'd be lying to the Lord Jesus Christ if I told him that, because I know I've sinned. If you're honest with yourself, you know that's true. But not only is the Lord Jesus Christ the narrow way that leads to life, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, the Bible says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. John the Baptist told a bunch of sinners one time, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Said that in Matthew 23:33. Well, I'll tell you how. Not only is the Lord Jesus Christ the way to heaven, we've just established that, but included in that, an important part of that, the Lord Jesus Christ said, he is said by the Bible to be the way to escape temptation. The way to escape temptation and sin and all of its penalty. I need a way out. See, not only do I need a way to heaven, but included in that, I need a way out of hell. I need a way out of condemnation. I need a way out of the wrath of God. How am I going to escape this thing? Jesus Christ is the way of escape. He's the only way of escape. That Bible, man, you just ought to read that thing sometime. One time Jesus talked about a man who was thrown in hell and or carried to hell, and the Bible said he couldn't get out. So the man said, send somebody from down here to go up and tell my brothers so they don't end up down here. Abraham told that man, there's a great gulf between me and you, and the people that want to escape from where you are, they can't get out. There's no way of escape. There's no way out. You're in hell. And the Lord, all the Lord can do at that point, if you find yourself in hell, all he can say is, I'm sorry, you chose to go to hell. I didn't want you to go there. You're the one made the choice to end up in hell. That was not my will. You were in hell and there's no way out. Now you're not getting out. You're stranded there. You're lost there. You're doomed to stay there forever. Now, there is a way of escape. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to end up in hell. You don't have to bust hell wide open, as the saying goes, when you die and leave this world. There is a way of escape, but it's Jesus Christ. And if you don't take that way of escape now, you're not getting out then. Not for a day, not for a week, not for a month, not for a year, not forever. You'll never escape that place once you're in there. And it's dark and it's hot and it's torture. You say, well, I can handle darkness. You know what? My wife and I, we visited a couple of caves in Colorado in the Rocky Mountains one time, and in both cases, the tour guides got us all down in the deepest part of that cave and said, you want to know what it's like to really be in the dark, like you've never been in the dark before? You're about to find out. And they turned the lights out, and I kid you not, you could put your hand right here, this close to your face, wave it back and forth, and you can't see it. You can't see it at all. You could touch your nose if you can find it in that dark. It's that dark. And I tell you what, it's not 15 seconds before somebody just loses it. They can't handle it for 15 seconds. They start whimpering or they'll get out their cigarette lighter. They got to have just any light. They can't take it. Well, could you imagine being in that kind of blackness and darkness and never, ever, ever getting out? On top of that, there's fire burning, and it's burning you and tormenting you so much that you would scream and cry out for just one drop of water, and you won't get it. You say, that's a horrible thing. I can't believe God would ever do that to somebody. He never will. You do it to yourself. But I think the worst thing about hell would be to have to spend eternity in that kind of torment with the knowledge that there was a way out and I didn't take it. There was a way of escape and I didn't choose it. the knowledge that for a million, for a billion years, you have to be tormented with the realization that I didn't have to come here. To me, that would be a horrible thing. Jesus Christ is the way of escape. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And the obvious implied answer is that you cannot. Later in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25, the Bible says, for if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. There is a way of escape available to anyone who will take it. And that way is the Lord Jesus Christ. People say, well, I don't think you ought to scare people. I don't think it's a good reason to get saved just because you don't want to go to hell. Well, it might not be the best reason, but I think it's a good one. Amen. It's like saying, I don't think you ought to tell your kids not to stick that knife in the electric outlet. Well, I think you're crazy because I'm going to tell them. I don't think you ought to tell people not to sleep on the railroad tracks. Well, I don't care what you think. I'm going to tell them. Well, I don't think you ought to scare people with all that talk about hell. Well, it's better than letting them go there, isn't it? Amen. I'd rather go to heaven because I was scared of hell than to go to hell because I didn't want anybody to tell me about hell. You want to be a big man? Okay. Let me see you stick out your chest down there and talk about how brave you are in hell. The Bible says you'll be weeping. That's what you'll be doing. You'll be wailing. You'll be gnashing your teeth. It'll be unbearable forever and ever. You talk to some people and there'll be some that will tell you, well, I want to go to hell. All my buddies are going to be there. Guess what? You won't see them. They could be right in front of your face. You won't see them. they think, I want to go to hell because we're going to have a big party. That's your idea of a party? I mean, if you want that kind of party, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll all get together one night. We'll build a great big bonfire. We'll give you a beer in one hand, a marijuana cigarette in the other hand, whatever you want. And we'll throw you right in the middle of that fire and watch you party. Okay? Just take your beer and your drugs and you party. We'll watch. Just party it up, man. Have a big time. We'll even bring a DJ. You can dance if you want to. I bet you won't want to. I bet you'll scream. I bet you'll holler. And you'll want somebody to get you out. Well, you can get out of a bonfire. I don't know if you'd survive, but you won't get out of hell. You say, I want to go to hell. We're going to party down there. No, you're not. You're going to wish to God that you hadn't gone there. See, people, they just don't think. They just like to give some smart answer. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Jesus Christ is the way of escape. Not only that, let's go to the book of Hebrews, and we'll look at a couple of things in chapter 9 and chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 9. Jesus Christ is the way into that place of fellowship with God. See, way back yonder, God made a man and called his name Adam. And God made a woman for that man. And that man and that woman were created to have perfect fellowship with God. People say, if God was so good, why are there wars? Because man is no good. If God is so good, why do people die? Because man is no good. If God is so good, why do people get sick? Well, you're not going to blame God for the mess that you made. I don't see God fighting any wars anywhere on this earth. I see men fighting the wars. I didn't see God fighting World War II. I read about men fighting World War II. I don't see God shooting anybody. I see men shooting people. Now, if God had his way, there would have been no sin, no sickness, no sorrow, no pain, no heartache. It would have been perfect fellowship between man and God forever and ever. That was God's will. It was man's idea to disobey God. It was man's idea to sin. So don't blame God if you're brokenhearted. Don't blame God if you're down on your luck. Don't blame God if everything seems to be going wrong for you. There's nothing going wrong up in heaven. Do you ever think about that? Why? Because there's no sin in heaven. Blame sin. That's why things go wrong down here in your life. Don't blame God. But Jesus Christ came to make a way that God and man could have that fellowship, the fellowship that Adam once had, to have that restored. They could have that right relationship restored again. Look what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 8. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. Look at verse 11. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Verse 15. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Look at chapter 10, verse number 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living, what? Way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Now, I know that might sound a little bit complicated, unless you've studied it before, and we could read a lot more verses, but what the Bible says is this. How in the world are you going to get up there to God? How in the world are you ever going to enter into the presence of God? How am I as a man? How are you as a descendant of Adam? How are you and I ever going to enter into the presence of God and once more have fellowship with God and walk with him and talk with him as God made Adam and Eve to do? Well, there's only one way according to the Bible. The Bible says it's through the body of the Lord Jesus Christ that was offered as a payment for sin. That is the only way. God Almighty, he's sitting on the throne of glory. He said, this place up here, it's perfect. There's no war up here. There's no death up here. And he looks around and he says, and by the way, there's no sickness here. There's no famine. There's no heartache. There's no child abuse. There's no spouse abuse. There's no adultery. There's nothing going on up here that you could say is wrong. You're a sinner. You're not coming in here. I don't want heaven to become a big mess, as big a mess as earth is. If you have sinned one time, you're not coming in. He said, Brother Bob, I haven't sinned much. How many times do you have to murder somebody before you're a murderer? Okay, one time. How many times do you have to sin before you're a sinner? One time. First time you and I sinned, we proved that we were a sinner. God says, you're not coming in here. Well, that settles it. I'm lost. How can I get rid of my sin? God, I'll never sin again. What about the one you already committed? God, I'm sorry. Well, I know you're sorry, but you're a sorry sinner. God, I wish I hadn't done it. Well, that's fine, but you did, and you're a sinner. I've got to find some way so that I can stand before God and not be a sinner anymore. And the Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ took all my sin. Read it in 1 Peter 2, 2 Corinthians 5. The Lord Jesus Christ took all my sin. He placed it on himself, and he went to the cross, and he died to pay the penalty for all my sin. Placed it on himself. And he says, if you'll trust me, I'll give you a certificate written in my blood that declares that you are righteous before God. You are holy. You are just. Just as if you had never sinned one time. That's the only way. That's the only way. The blood of Jesus Christ. You know, back in the latter part of the 1800s, they had a big world's fair in Chicago. And there at that fair, they had what they called a Congress of Religions. And they brought in a Hindu fella, they brought in a Sikh, they brought in a Taoist, all kinds of religious fellows from every religion. And they had these panel discussions, these group discussions, to see what the different groups and the different religions had to say. And they had their one congregational minister who was a saved man, and he was there representing his particular group. And it got around to his turn to speak and to pose a question. And he quoted from one of Shakespeare's plays. And he held up his arm and he said, "How cleansest thou this red right hand? How cleansest thou this red right hand?" Now, if you know anything about literature, you know that in that play, this man had just murdered somebody, and he was eaten up with guilt because of his sin, because of his crime. He had blood on his hands. And he asked that question in the play, how am I going to get this blood off my hands? How am I going to get rid of the sin? And you know, the Buddhist, he said, well, sit cross-legged for 100 years and trip out and pretend that it didn't happen. And the Muslim said, go out and slaughter enough Christians and Jews and that'll make up for it. And the Confucianist said, well, go out west and get yourself a cowboy hat and kick people in the teeth with kung fu. all kinds of different answers. And they got around to every one of them in their panel discussion. And they all came to the conclusion that nobody had any idea how to get rid of that sin. And it got all the way back around, and this congregational minister said, gentlemen, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And that's it. That's the only answer. There is no other way. Look, there might be other ways to live. There might be other ways to believe. There might be other ways to treat your fellow man. But there's only one way under God's heaven to get rid of your sin, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, that's a new way, but it's a living way. Did you read that in Hebrews 10:20? It's a living way. That is the way to life. Then let's finish up with three things here in 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter number 2. Some of you might be thinking, this is awful basic stuff and simple elementary stuff. Yeah, and you know something? You're going to be running all over heaven hollering for a million years because of this stuff. People want all this preaching about, you know, planetary alignment and vampire bats and unclean spirits looking like mosquitoes, all that stuff. But that stuff is not going to get anybody out of hell. You're going to get to heaven by way of Jesus Christ, not by way of your knowledge of doctrines, not by way of your knowledge of strange and unusual phenomenon in the Bible. You're going to get to heaven by way of Jesus Christ. This is a new way. This is a living way. So don't let the devil get you all sidetracked on those secondary matters. I mean, you know, I'm interested to a certain extent in some of the things going on in the world. I try not to get too bogged down in that stuff, you know, but keep track of what wars are going on here and there. Of course, we got a worldwide pandemic, kind of keep an eye on that, what's going on there. Got political campaigns. You know, you can take only so much of that before it starts bothering you. And of course, worldwide, you got changing moral values, and they're going the wrong way, aren't they? You say, well, what about North Korea? What about Iran? What about China? What about Hong Kong? What about your sin? What about that? That's what we need to take care of first. And then it's the devil's delusion. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. And one of those ways that seemeth right unto a man is to try and find somebody that needs it more than I do. There was this Christian, he was witnessing to a man in the hospital one time. The guy in there, he'd already lost his family because of his drinking. He'd already drunk away all of his money, lost his job because of the drinking. And there he was lying in that hospital bed, all busted up, because guess what? He drove right into a telephone pole, crashed his car in his face. And this minister, he's telling this guy about Jesus Christ and the way of salvation. And the guy looks up from that bed and he tells that Christian, he says, man, you need to talk to my cousin. He really needs this. That's when you feel like slapping the guy in the face and saying, hey, stupid, you need this. That's the devil's deception, to make you think there's somebody that needs it more than you do, because you're not that bad, right? Well, you know what I know? There was nobody that needed to be saved more than I did. Nobody that needed to be forgiven more than me. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 2. And many shall follow their pernicious, that's evil, ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Jesus Christ said, I am the way and the truth. Many people speak evil of the way of truth. Now let's just talk about this, because we ought to. We need to. Now, I know there's a lot of crooked preachers, people you wouldn't trust, okay? I know that. I know there's a lot of preachers that ran off with the church secretary. I know that. I know there's a lot of deacon board members that ran off with the offering money. I know that. I know there's a lot of professing Christians that drink and smoke and spit tobacco just as much as an unsaved person would. I know it. But Jesus, did he do any of that stuff? Did he? Who did Jesus run off with? Whose money did Jesus steal? When did you see Jesus drunk? Huh? You might be able to speak evil of men, yes. Men who proclaim the name of Jesus Christ and do pernicious things, evil things. And you might speak evil of the way of truth because of those men. Shame on them. But you cannot speak evil of Jesus Christ. He never sinned. He never transgressed. He never did anything wrong. Or else he could not have paid for our sins. But he did. Because he could. Verse 15. There are those, the Bible says, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray. Verse 21. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Jesus Christ is the way of truth. He is the right way. He's the way of righteousness. He said he's the way to heaven. Now, I don't know what other preachers struggle with, but I struggle whenever we come to a time and a place in our church service where we want to present salvation. What I struggle with is trying to make it simple enough. It's so simple that it's hard to put into words. But all I can tell you is you cannot go to heaven by yourself. Okay? You can't do it yourself. Okay? And any way that you think is right or seems right, if that way is not the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, I hope if you got anything today, you know it's the wrong way. If it's not Jesus Christ, it's the wrong way. You say, well, yeah, but preacher, he told me if it's not the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, if he didn't tell you what the Bible says, he didn't tell you the truth. If what he said didn't match what God said in his word, whoever it was that told you something else did not tell you the truth. Jesus Christ is the way of truth. You say, well, how do I know the right way? There's so many religions. Jesus Christ said, I'm the right way. Don't trust a Baptist preacher. Don't trust a Pentecostal preacher. Don't trust a Seventh-day Adventist preacher. Trust Jesus. Trust his word, his Bible. He laid down his life on a cross to pay for sin, for your sin, for my sin. He rose from the dead. He ascended up into heaven. He's alive right now. Say, Brother Bob, I don't know all there is to know about the Bible, but at least I do know I'm a sinner. I know I do want to go to heaven. How can I get there? Jesus will take you if you'll trust him. He'll give you everlasting life. Thomas asked Jesus, how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's the only way. Amen. Now would you bow your heads and we'll pray. Now, if you've heard this message today and maybe it's bothering you, maybe it's made you understand that there's something you need to do, you want to know exactly what you need to do to know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die, would you raise your hand if you know that you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior and you'd like to do that today? Nobody's looking, everybody's head's bowed. You say, I know I'm a sinner. I know if I don't let Jesus Christ save me, I'm not going to heaven. Would you raise your hand? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for giving us this opportunity to look at the salvation message of the Lord, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for paying the price for our sins, for our redemption. Lord, I thank you for your love, for caring for us enough to step down from the glory in heaven down into this earth, this filthy earth full of wickedness, Lord, to take upon your body on the tree at Calvary our sins. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, if there is anybody here who's still not sure, who's still has, you know, Lord, in their hearts, you know every person that is yours. I pray if there's anybody here that is just afraid to step out of the shadows and ask you to save them, I pray, Lord, your Holy Spirit would continue to work in their hearts so that they won't go out of here still on the broad road that leads to destruction. But they'll know for certain they have a place in heaven that you've prepared for them. And we, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.